Checky check check 1 2 2 2 2 sound guy 2 checkity checkity check check check.
Republica. Conservatives.
They fought a civil war to free the slaves, and ever since then they've just been cucking. And of course, losing to the Democrats and on every possible front. But then again, that's what Republicucks do best, is losing. I mean, that's why they hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is the first Republicuck to actually win anything in how long?
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Well, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Furious cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right, especially if you're a conservative Republican. See how much noise I can make attempting to adjust the microphone. Oh, probably plenty.
There we go.
Oh. Yeah, state, blah, blah, cruise missile, all that other stuff. Oh, shit. So I just remembered something I needed to do, but I didn't do it. It's not a big deal, but it's something I need to do before. Am I going to forget? Should I run away right now? Fuck it. I'll remember. I'll remember. When has the Great One ever forgotten anything? That's never happened before. There's no way I could possibly forget to take that out of my pocket before I go off to do my thing. Is that a roll of quarters in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? All right, greetings. I'm going to attempt. You already know that I failed. I'm going to attempt to get right into this because we got a lot to cover. I'm much more prepared for this now. So in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, I'll explain it to you now so I don't have to explain it in the show notes. The shortest episode, right, the episode of Stating the Obvious, which is as short as the list of Republicuck accomplishments. So I recorded the entire full episode, and after the part that you heard, then I launched off into an article that we're not going to cover in today's episode, but will probably be in the next episode, or God help us, the one after that, because I would like to get this in two episodes, but it might end up being three because there's a lot of stuff to cover here. And it just wasn't that good. I wasn't on my game. And I did not pre-read it. Sometimes, you know, I don't pre-read things because reading them cold makes them funnier. This was not an example of reading something cold making it funnier. So anyhow, I nixed all the shitty parts so that you guys would not have to suffer. You're welcome. You are fucking welcome. That's what it's like to be a fucking professional. All right. So let me start here. You already know what we're talking about today because you can tell from the title of the episode. All right, so now back in the day, there was... Oh, shit. I don't have... Am I going to need it? Hang on. Let me go get the book. All right, I don't think I'm going to need it, but just in case I do, I should have my copy of The Satanic Bible by Anton Sansdor-Lavey right here in front of me with his fucking bald Davis Irini-looking head. Okay, so back in the day, Anton Lavey wrote The Satanic Bible. Then Anton Lavey died, because people do that. And I know there's a bunch of boomers out there and Karens who think that people don't die. And so when you find out there's a virus, you have to shut down the economy and put 30% of the people in the country out of work in order to try to protect yourself from death because you live in this fantasy world where no one ever dies. And viruses are these new things that have never occurred until now, and we all need to panic and cuck all over ourselves. And Republicans, you know, being the cucks that they are, pretty much went along with it because they're cucks. So anyway, LaVey died. I don't know if the fucking Wuhan virus killed him or if he was choked to death by a cop. I don't know. But he's dead. So after LaVey dies, he's got this organization, the Church of Satan, right? So obviously, because I just started podcasting, I'm going to choke to death. Obviously. Obviously, everybody involved starts fighting for control of the organization and whatever amount of power and money and prestige and girls may go along with it. Okay, that's to be expected. So I knew all of this many years ago, and I also knew that at some point there was a split in the church. So there's, you know, bam, went off two different directions, one of which, you know, claimed to be continuing the whatever tradition, the mindset, what the fuck ever. You know, one of them claimed to be, well, we are the real LaVey Church of Satan, and then there was this offshoot that went over here, and the two offshoots didn't like each other. All right, so I knew that much about it. I didn't get into it because drama, right? Also because Satanists, actual real Satanists, and we'll be delving into this in a minute, actual real Satanists as opposed to fake Satanists are not really... I mean, we can enjoy ceremonial drama. That's why you have these satanic ceremonies. But like real life drama and, you know, joining things and needing external validation and being part of a group and, you know, virtue signaling and all this other shit is not really what real Satanists are into. And thus, you know, the split and the drama and the politics was something I didn't really give a shit about. So I didn't pay attention. So anyhow, we did the previous two episodes in this series, right, where I read the Rooster article about the Satanist. So after reading that, what I was going to do... what I was going to do was find some pictures of women who claim to be Satanist to put in the show notes of the second episode, along with the picture of the excessively ugly woman with the bat tattoos on her head, right? So we could all make fun of what satanic women look like, because, I mean, we know what normal women look like quote-unquote normal, you know, kind of like a civil war, quote-unquote civil war. You know, like, quote-unquote, normal women today, we know how bad they look. Satanic women are only going to look worse. And thus, in Googling to just try to find some random pictures of women who think they're Satanist, I ran across other material, which has now led to this podcast, the next podcast, and possibly part 5, depending on how it goes. So it turns out that these people in the article by Rooster Magazine, written for Dope Smokers by Dope Smokers, is... Shit, hang on a second. It's gonna drive me insane. All right. The Satanist in the article in Rooster Magazine are members of the Temple of... No, the Satanic Temple. Let me write this down. T TST, the Satanic Temple, as opposed to the Church of Satan. So they're the offshoot organization. All right. So they're... I go to their website, because I'm Googling for stuff, right? And they have this long, long-winded essay about the differences between the Satanic Temple and the Church of Satan. And I'm reading through this, and I'm looking at their material, and I realized this struck me as just absolutely hilarious that this is a thing. And yet it is. Okay. The Satanic Temple is the cuck church version of Satanism. You know, I feel like you have your Orthodox Christianities, which again, I'm not a religious expert, so I don't know, but you know, my understanding, the Orthodox religions, you know, they're more, patriarchal, right? There's separation between the men's and the women's, and they're more hardcore, and they have higher standards and all this other stuff. And then you have your cuck churches, right? The ones like we have here in Fort Collins, where they have the signs out front that say, everybody is our neighbor, in English, Arabic, and Spanish. And they've got the rainbow flags, and they've got the, you know, lesbian preachers, and the homosexuals are there, and the trannies are there, and they participate in gay pride. You know, they have men wearing women's clothing, leading Bible study groups of small children. The cuck churches, right? If you know what a cuck church is, I don't need to explain this to you. The Satanic Temple is literally Hitler. And I'm about to prove this to you now that I'm telling you, right? That's how this podcast works. If you're new to stating the obvious, if you came here because you saw this is about Satanism and you thought, well, man, Satanism is cool, especially because, like, I'm really into women who shave the side of their heads and tattoo bat wings on the side of their head, man, because that's hot, dog. Dude, that's hot, man. When those women, like, when they shave their hair, man, they get tattoos all over their face and their bodies, they stick metal in their nose. Dude, and then they wear all black, man, because, dude, did you know that, like, wearing all black clothing all the time, man, that's, like, so rebellious. Dude, I read about it in Rooster Magazine, man. Dude. Right, so if let's say it's your first time here. Let me explain how Stating the Obvious podcast works. First, I state the obvious. I say something which is obviously true to anyone who's not an idiot. For example, the Satanic Temple is the cuck church based on the Church of Satan. After having stated the obvious, after having said this thing, you know, I then go forth to prove it. For example, I could state the obvious. I could say that the war between the Union and the Confederacy was not a civil war, because a civil war is when two factions in the same country are fighting for control of the government of that country, the government being the entity that has a monopoly on the use of force within a geographic region. The Confederacy was a separate, so now I will prove it. The Confederacy was a separate country from the Union. The Confederate States seceded, left, wrote their own constitution, signed it, formed a new country. There is in a war between two countries. Okay, that's not a civil war. But you see, conservatives are so obsessed with touching their penises while reminding themselves that they freed the slaves, that they are incapable of understanding even the most simple and obvious historical facts. And they have to fixate on their one shining moment of when they and Abraham Lincoln personally, you know, after Abraham Lincoln put all the newspaper editors in prison, and after Abraham Lincoln had to implement a draft because nobody wanted to volunteer for his fucking war, Yeah, after they did all of that, they and Abraham Lincoln personally did that. Yeah, they've done nothing since then, other than bend over every time liberal Democrats have wanted to do something, like, you know, legalize gay marriage or have transvestites read stories to children or raise taxes or anything else. But anyhow, let's talk. We're not talking about conservatives today. We're talking about cucked Satanist. I mean, I could just... The fact that this is even a thing is slightly painful to me. As a Satanist, former Satanist, semi-Satanist, I'm still a lot of a Satanist. We'll see why as we read through this, because I got some stuff for you. Because first, so yeah, you know, again, you haven't read the Satanic Bible. You don't know anything about the lay of the land. So we're going to start off, we're going to get the lay of the land. We're going to hear from the Church of Satan, who gets to go first because they were founded first. Then we're going to hear from the Satanic Temple. And then I'm going to read and comment upon some of this long-winded essay from the Temple of Satan, explaining the ways in which they're different than the Satanic Church. And you could probably take a wild guess right now. Like if you were to guess, oh, well, the difference is that the Temple of Satan, oh, let's see, I bet it embraces homosexuality and abortion and raising taxes and global warming and Black Lives Matters. Like if you guessed that, you would be shockingly correct. Hence the reason I'm telling you it's the cuck church version of Satanism. It is literally Hitler, the cuck church of Satanism. All right, now I've repeated myself enough. We need to see, this is why this is going to end up being three episodes long, because the Great One loves the sound of his own voice. I love hearing the sound of my own voice, the way that Republicans love talking about the way they freed the slaves after fighting, personally fighting, a civil war. I mean, I guess when Hitler invaded Poland, that was a civil war, right? I mean, countries were next to each other, like the Union and the Confederacy. Maybe that's all you need now for it to be a civil war, is just have to be next to each other. All right, anyway, here we go. These are the 11 Satanic Rules of the Earth by Anton Sansdor LaVey, copyright 1967. So, Christianity's got their 10 commandments. We have our 9 Satanic Statements, which we've already covered, and then we have our 11 Satanic Rules of the Earth. Number 1. Do not give opinions or advice unless you are asked. That's pretty non-cucked. It'll also keep you out of trouble. I abide by that one. Number 2. Do not tell your troubles to others unless you are sure they want to hear them. Also uncucked. I also adhere to that one. Nobody wants to hear about my fucking problems. It's a great one. You talk about your problems on this podcast. Ah, yes, but see, you can stop listening anytime you want. All right, number 3. Oh, by the way, also, this is all, most of this anyway, fully compatible with Ancapidice and the Zero Aggression Principle. Once again, in Ancapidice, you don't give other people your opinions or advice unless they ask for it. In Ancapidice, you don't tell other people your problems unless they want to hear it. Number 3, when in another's lair, which, you know, we're trying to be Satan-y here, his lair, his meaning when you're in another person's house. When in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. Okay, once again, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. You go to somebody else's house, you respect their house, you respect their property, you respect them, right? You don't go, it's just like I've said before, you go on somebody else's podcast, right? It's like the other day, I'm on the Clary podcast and we're talking and we're not going to go into it, but I made this comment, and Claire's like, what do you mean? And it's like, okay, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, look, I could go down the path and I could start talking about, you know, God's chosen people, and I could talk about the statistically validated variations in the IQs of the different races and stuff, right? But I know that Aaron doesn't talk about that kind of stuff on his podcast. So I just stifle myself and just shut the fuck up, right? And that's how it works. You're in somebody else's house, whether it's a physical house, whether it's a metaphorical house, like their podcast or their radio broadcast or the TV show, right? You respect them, you respect their stuff, you fucking behave yourself. If you can't do that, then don't go over there. So you see, this sort of negates things like, I don't know, BLM riots, throwing bricks through windows, looting stores, burning things down. All right, number four. If a guest in your lair annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. It's again, completely agree. If you come in my house and you start fucking things up, I'm going to treat you like shit and I'm going to tell you to leave. Number five. This one's a little bit cucky, but it depends how we interpret this. See, that's the thing. Number five. Do not make sexual advances unless you are given the mating signal. Now, I don't know if LaVey has ever dated a woman in his life, but women don't really give mating signals because they're too confused to do that. But I get the point. Or at least I get what I can make as a point out of this. And I suppose there's a difference too between a sexual advance and, well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not gonna beat this into the ground, but there it is. Do not make sexual advances unless you are given the mating signal. But we have to keep in mind that men always have to make the first move, and you never really know what the fuck a woman is thinking. So we can work on interpreting. Hence the reason I say that's a little bit cucky. But I get what he's trying to go for. Number six. Do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden to the other person and he cries out to be relieved. So again, you know, looting stores and things like that, you can't do that. And again, in Ancapidice, oh yeah, there's your non-aggression principle. There's your Ancapidice. Do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden to the other person and he cries out to be relieved. Number seven, here we get a little weird. Again, guys, I'm not saying that LaVey's version of Satanism is perfect, just in case anybody's unclear on this. I've critiqued this before. There are flaws in his philosophy because Satanism was written specifically as a response to Christianity, and that factor right there puts certain flaws into it, as opposed to him starting somewhere, you know, at a ground work level at the root and just building up from that. But we're not going to go into all that right now. I've done that in the past. Maybe I'll do that again in the future. Not a big deal. Number seven, acknowledge the power of magic if you have employed it successfully to obtain your desires. If you deny the power of magic after having called upon it with success, you will lose all that you have obtained. So LaVey did not believe in a god or a Satan, but LaVey did believe in a form of magic. I think I talked about this already in the previous, without trying to get too deep into it, because also I can't claim that I have intimate understanding of what went on inside of his brain. But his magic isn't like the weird, you know, teenage witch magic where you burn candles and light incense, or you mix together blood and dog hair and fish legs or something. Fish don't have legs, frog legs, and something like that, you know, and you get somebody to drink it and they fall in love with you. It was more of this like psychic magic. I don't really know how to describe it, and it's not that important. But once again, anybody who wants to make fun of LaVey for believing in magic, I mean, sure, that's up for making fun of. And I mean, if you believe equally stupid things like there's an invisible man who lives in the sky, or if you believe that a war between two separate countries is a civil war, then, you know, you're kind of stupid also, and we can make fun of you for your dumb beliefs. And it's fine. We all of us have dumb beliefs that we can be made fun of for. Even the great one. Okay? I'm going to say that 1 out of 11 ain't bad. All right, number 8. Do not complain about anything to which you need not subject yourself. I agree with that one. Number 9. Do not harm little children. As opposed to big children, I suppose. I'm not really sure why. But anyhow. Number 10. Do not kill non-human animals unless you are attacked or for your food. Can also agree with that. I'm on board with 8, 9, and 10. We're fine here. And finally, number 11. This is anarcho-capitalist as fuck. I think the kids would say that this is based, but I'm still not sure what the fuck the phrase or word based actually means. I do know, however, that... what was his name? The guy I used to listen to, the redhead from England, Dave something. He and Based Mama were doing that free speech convention. Then it all went to shit because Based Mama started censoring people. Dave Cullen. And then Dave Cullen did like that video on YouTube about how the red pill movement needs more women in it, and I did this like over 4-hour response explaining why no, we don't need any more women in the red pill movement. In fact, we need 0 women in the red pill movement, because if men are sitting around waiting for women to do shit for them, we've already failed. So anyhow, number 11. When walking in open territory, bother no one. So this would apply, like, you know, say you're in a big city and you're having a protest because Black Lives Matter. So you're walking around out there in the streets in the open territory. You should probably bother no one. That bothering no one would exclude throwing things through windows, breaking into buildings, stealing property that doesn't belong to you, beating people with 2x4s. But anyhow, again, we have statistical differences between the IQs of the races that we can talk about here. Let me finish this. Number 11, when walking in open territory, bother no one. If someone bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him. Now, I'm sure the cucks all just wet themselves right now. But see, this is called self-defense. Self-defense. God, I can't fucking talk. If someone starts bothering you, you ask them to stop. Bothering doesn't mean, you know, you're annoying me because of your shirt. Now, I know the stupid people always say, what does that mean by bother? And that's why, look, guys, Satanism was not created for low intelligence people, okay? You know good and fucking well what we mean by not bothering people and what we mean by if someone is bothering you, okay? We all know exactly what we're talking about here. If he doesn't stop, you fucking destroy him. It's called self-defense. Next, we have here, I'm doing on time. Shitty, of course. The 9 Satanic Sins. Also by Anton LaVey. Copyright 1987. Number 1. This is a little bit lengthier. I'm going to try to blast through these and I'll editorialize as needed. But in theory, I can just get through this. There's a lie. Fortunately, lying is not... Oh, but there is shit. I am on here. All right, I'm sinning according to Satanism. We'll get to it in a minute. Number one, stupidity. The top of the list for satanic sins, the cardinal sin of Satanism. It's too bad that stupidity isn't painful. Ignorance is one thing, but our society thrives, increasingly, on stupidity. It depends on people going along with whatever they are told. The media promotes a cultivated stupidity as a posture that is not only acceptable, but laudable. Satanists must learn to see through the tricks and cannot afford to be stupid. Does that end? Society thrives increasing on stupidity. Depends on people going along with whatever they are told. Put your mask on when you go out in public. The media promotes does any of that sound familiar? Number two, pretentiousness. Empty posturing could be most irritating and isn't applying the cardinal rules of lesser magic. On equal footing with stupidity for what keeps the money in circulation these days. Everyone's made to feel like a big shot whether they can come up with the goods or not. Pretentiousness, like, I don't know, borrowing a shit ton of money, spending more money than you make, there's a form of pretentiousness. Empty posturing, anybody? Number three, solipsism can be very dangerous for Satanists. Projecting your reactions, responses, and sensibilities onto someone who is probably far less attuned than you are. It is the mistake of expecting people to give you the same consideration, courtesy, and respect that you naturally give them. They won't. Instead, Satanists must strive to apply the dictum of do unto others as they do unto you. It's work for most of us and requires constant vigilance lest you slip into a comfortable illusion of everyone being like you. As has been said, certain utopias would be ideal in a nation of philosophers, but unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately from a Machiavellian standpoint, we are far from that point. I mean, solipsism abounds. What am I going to do about that? Number four. Self-deceit. This is me. I had the self-deceit that I can read words and speak correctly when doing a podcast. Self-deceit. It's in the nine satanic statements, but deserves to be repeated here. Another cardinal sin. We must not pay homage to any of the sacred cows presented to us, including the roles we are expected to play ourselves. The only time self-deceit should be entered into is when it's fun and with self-awareness. But then it's not self-deceit. Number five. Tell me if you've heard of this one before. Herd conformity. That's obvious from a satanic stance. It's all right to conform to a person's wishes if it ultimately benefits you. But only fools go along with the herd, letting an impersonal entity dictate to you. The key is to choose a master wisely instead of being enslaved by the whims of the many. Number six, lack of perspective. Again, this one can lead to a lot of pain for a Satanist. You must never lose sight of who and what you are and what a threat you can be by your very existence. We are making history right now, every day. Always keep the wider historical and social picture in mind. That is an important key to both lesser and greater magic. See the patterns and fit things together as you want the pieces to fall into place. Do not be swayed by herd constraints. Know that you are working on another level entirely from the rest of the world. It's a little long-winded, but yeah, lack of perspective. Okay. Number seven, forgetfulness of past orthodoxies. Be aware that this is one of the keys to brainwashing people into accepting something new and different when in reality it's something that was once widely accepted but is now presented in a new package. We are expected to rave about the genius of the creator and forget the original. This makes for a disposable society. I'm not real excited about the way he phrases this here, because in a way it kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Accepting something new and different, in reality it's something that was once widely accepted but now present a new package. Allow me to reinterpret this for you. Forgetfulness of past orthodoxies. Forgetfulness of the past. Right? Again, let's forget the Orthodox Church. Let's have our cuck church. Right? I've bitched about this plenty of times, how there's all these stupid leftist fucking progressive white people who think white people have no culture. And then, yeah, they listen to all the black rap music and celebrate African culture and all this other shit. No, white European people have plenty of fucking culture. You can't have a society for that long without having culture. It's just that these fucking cucked white people don't know the culture because they've forgotten the past. Or in many cases, they haven't forgotten it. They've never been exposed to it because the public education system doesn't tell you about the history and culture of European nations. You spend an entire month learning about black people, who would, of course, still be slaves if it wasn't for Abraham Lincoln and all those Republic cucks who personally went down to the South and fought a civil war to free those slaves. Number 8, counterproductive pride. Now, we're not talking about Gay Pride Month here, just so everyone knows. Because I know, you know, the word pride is another word that has lost its original meaning. Number 8, counterproductive pride. The first word is important. Pride is great up to the point you begin to throw out the baby with the bathwater. The rule of Satanism is, if it works for you, great. When it stops working for you, when you've painted yourself into a corner and the only way out is to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I wish we could compromise somehow, then do it. Number 9, lack of aesthetics. This is the physical application of the balance factor. Aesthetics is important in lesser magic and should be cultivated. It is obvious that no one can collect any money off classical standards of beauty and form most of the time, so they are discouraged in a consumer society. Did I read that correctly? It is obvious that no one can collect any money off classical standards of beauty and form most of the time, so they are discouraged in a consumer society. Okay, obviously he's never heard of OnlyFans, where actually, I mean, ugly women make money there too, but women who are actually attractive make money. But anyhow, let me continue. But an eye for beauty, for balance, is an essential satanic tool and must be applied for greatest magical effectiveness. It's not what's supposed to be pleasing, it's what is. Aesthetics is a personal thing, reflective of one's own nature, but there are universally pleasing and harmonious configurations that should not be denied. For example, thin women who are not covered with tattoos and have purple hair and have hairy armpits and have metal stuck in their face. Men who are masculine. There are universally pleasing and harmonious configurations that should not be denied. I mean, he's specifically talking about fat women are ugly. See, he's not saying it, but he means fat women are not attractive. So there you go. There's a little foundation for you in Orthodox Satanism, okay? Don't give your opinions unless people want them. Don't tell your troubles to other people. Respect people's property when you're in their house. If somebody's in your house pisses you off, piss back on them. Don't rape women. Don't steal things, acknowledge the power of magic if you've used magic. Now, if you haven't used magic, and, you know, here's an analogy for that. It's like, okay, if you're a Christian or whatever, and you prayer, right? If you believe in the power of prayer, and so you pray for something, like you pray to God, I got cancer, will you cure the cancer? And then your cancer goes away. You don't turn around and be like, well, prayer doesn't work. That's kind of what he's saying. Again, we can talk about the weird magic, but once again, there's like people think the invisible man in the sky. I mean, my God, talking about fantasies that some of you people believe in. Some of you people believe that the fiat currency we currently use in the United States actually has value. I mean, my God, guys, between the invisible man in the sky and the United States dollar, I mean, the dollar is far more imaginary than God is. It's just fucking paper that's backed by nothing. Holy fuck. Okay? So once again, I can cut the guy some fucking slack for believing in lesser and greater magic. Don't complain about things that you could avoid. Don't harm children. Don't kill animals unless you're going to eat them or defend yourself. And when you're out in public, you don't initiate aggression against other people. If they initiate aggression against you, you fucking kill them. I'm on board with every bit of that. And what are the sins? Okay, the sins of this religion are being stupid, being pretentious, being solipsistic, engaging in self-deceit, herd conformity, having a lack of perspective, forgetfulness of past orthodoxies, counterproductive pride, and lack of aesthetics, otherwise known as not going to the gym and being fat. So there you go. That's the basis of both anarcho-capitalism and orthodox Satanism. Now, what, pray tell, might be the basis of the cuck church of Satanism, otherwise known as the Satanic Temple? Well, they have seven fundamental tenets. And here are the seven fundamental tenets. See, they have fundamental tenets. We have Satanic rules of the earth. Now, which would you guys rather have? I'm just curious. Would you rather have satanic rules of the earth? Masculine, powerful, satanic rules of the earth. Or would you rather have fundamental tenets? It's so fundamental. We have fun. It's fun. Fun is right there in the word. Your fundamental tenets. Oh my God, it's fundamental. You know what else is in the word? Mental. Here we go. Here we go, guys. Get your cuckometer ready. Do these sound like these were written by Satanists or by social justice warriors? Number one, one should strive. I mean, once again, okay, look, guys, it does not say over here, it does not say, one should strive not to give opinions or advice unless you are asked. It says, do not give opinions or advice unless you are asked. Do you see the difference here already between the masculine Orthodox Church of Satan and the feminine cuck Church of Satan? Do not give opinions. Over here, one should strive to act with compassion and empathy toward all creatures in accordance with reason. What does that mean? Okay, if you're going to have compassion and empathy towards all creatures, does that include Donald Trump? Does that include Adolf Hitler? Does that include Nazis? Does that include white nationalists? Does that include Ku Klux Klan members? Does that include conservatives who think that they fought a civil war? Okay? So it says, in accordance with reason. Well, what does that mean? Is that like your get out of jail free card? Oh, well, we don't have to act with compassion and empathy towards Donald Trump because we can reason our way into telling ourselves that Donald Trump is a white nationalist. And now we don't have to have compassion and empathy towards Donald Trump, right? Or you could say, if we're BLM protesters, right? Do we have to have compassion and empathy towards that person over there who owns that store? Well, no. See, this guy, he was killed by a cop and I'm oppressed because I'm a black person, even though the Republicans freed me. Which I still can't figure out how black people can be oppressed, because the Republicucks personally fought a civil war to free you, and you're free now. Maybe you should take this up with the Republicucks instead of the people that are operating the local auto zone. But so let's say you're a BLM protester, and there's a person who owns this little corner store that they spent their entire life building that thing up, you know, and employing people in the community and trying to make money. And see, but because of reason, now you don't have to act with compassion and empathy towards them. You can break the windows out of their fucking store and loot their shit. And if they try to stop you, you can beat them with a 2x4. See, notice in the satanic rules of the earth, it does not say one should strive to not give one's opinions or advice unless you are asked in accordance with reason. See, I know you can because you listen to this podcast. The difference between the cucked and the uncucked. Let's continue with the cuckening, because there's six more bits of precious cuckness we're going to have to go over on this episode. I'm telling you right now, when we hit the outro music, just stick with me. I'm going to let the outro play, and then we're going to finish recording, because I don't want to stop while I'm in the groove, although I do have to be somewhere in an hour, but we got this under control. Why? Because I am the motherfucking great one himself. I am the founder of the fucking Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 15 years. I am right. I am always right. I've always been right. I will never be wrong. You got a problem with any of that, you can send me an email at God, that's fur baby spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. On the interwebs, if you really want to get offended, you can give me some fucking money. Just click on the fucking thing on the fucking website and send me your fucking cuck bucks. I mean, they're imaginary anyway. They don't mean anything. It's just printed paper. What are you going to do with them? Number two of the fundamental tenets. The struggle for justice. Yes, it says this. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Guys, the struggle for justice is more important than the law or institutions. Once again, so you're a BLM protester. Your struggle for justice is more important than the law that says you should not kill other people, injure other people, destroy or steal other people's property. The struggle for justice should prevail over laws and institutions. So if you're homosexuals and you want so-called justice, see, that's more important than the institution of the Orthodox Church. Over here, we have, when in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. Versus, the struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. Number three, on the fundamental tenets, now here we go, one's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. So you just told me that the struggle for justice prevails over laws and institutions, but now you're telling me that people's body is subject to their own will alone. But what if somebody's body is interfering with the struggle for justice? Now, we know what's really going on here, right? We know that what this is. Number three is here for one reason and one reason only. It's there for the women. Let me translate this to you, for you, into English. My body, my choice. That's what this really means. So if your body is subject to your will alone, that would mean, of course, that these guys are opposed to taxation, because taxation is the theft of a person's money without their consent. Where does money come from? It comes from investing your time, which is part of your finite life, and it comes from investing your motion, your movement, your body. You go to work, you work at Chick-fil-A, right? While you're at Chick-fil-A for 8 hours, your body is there with you. You are using that body to get the money. So when the government takes the money away from you without your consent, the government is essentially taking away the fruit of your labor performed with your body. They are violating your ownership of your body. So therefore, I could only assume that the Temple of Satan is opposed to taxation, if they, of course, actually believe that a person's body should be subject to one's own will alone. I am refreshed for now and did a couple lines of cocaine, shot up some heroin, had sex with a couple of underage hookers. All of which, by the way, is allowable in the Orthodox Church of Satan. Now, I'm sure that in the Satanic Temple, according to their fundamental tenets, I'm sure that having sex with an underage hooker would be bad, unless, of course, it's a man having sex with an underage boy, because, I mean, just guys, just take a wild guess. Which of these churches do you think embracing of Gay Pride Month. Which of these churches do you think celebrates Gay Pride Month? Just take a wild guess. All right, here we go. Let's get going because we got to knock this out. Number 4. The freedoms of others should be respected. Okay. We can already just start naming the problems with that one because, of course, progressive. Once again, so you're opposed to taxation, right?
Right.
The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. Because we know that progressives and leftists and people who embrace Gay Pride Month are really all totally okay with other people saying things that offend them, right? People who embrace Black Lives Matter and Gay Pride Month are totally okay with, you know, homosexual jokes and racial jokes and totally okay with that. Totally okay with being offended. They're so even-keeled and open-minded, and they have such fantastic sense of humor, right? You tell them, like, a really good joke about a homosexual black guy, oh, they'll laugh right along with you. Okay. To willfully and unjustly. See, we've got these words in here. These beautiful, beautiful words. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. So you see, just as you don't have to be compassionate and empathetic towards creatures if you can reason your way out of it, see, you can encroach upon the freedom of another person as long as you do it justly. So, for example, when Hussein Obama, the first half-black president of the United States and the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he blew up brown Muslim people who were attending weddings with missiles that he launched from flying robots, see, you could say that that was encroaching upon the freedom of other people, you know, for example, murdering them. And it also violates number 3, where you took control of someone else's body, right? It also violates number 1, where you're supposed to act with compassion and empathy towards other people. But you see, Obama can do that because he did not blow those people up with that missile launched from that flying robot unjustly. He was struggling for justice. And thus, when he blew those people up, it was okay. Once again, let's do a little compare and contrast. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. It does not over here say to harm little children unjustly is wrong. It says, do not harm little children. It does not say, do not unjustly harm little children. See, this is how progressives work. Because they don't like rules, and this is why they don't like rules. And let's be honest, cuckservatives are exactly the same way. This is why cuckservatives can't figure out the zero aggression principle, right? Do not initiate harm against other people. Well, that eliminates all the things that cuckservatives like to do, right? Killing people because they're buying drugs or selling drugs or doing drugs. Taxation. Dropping bombs on other countries, right? Nobody who is inferior likes rules. They like this nebulous fucking lawyer-esque bullshit language that you can twist and warp into whatever you need it to be at the particular moment that you want to fuck another human being over for your benefit. Number five. Beliefs. Okay, we've already gone wrong with the first word because you, being a listener to this podcast, you know what the Great One has explained to you about beliefs. Believing in something is what you do when you don't have evidence for it. So again, there's a ceiling fan over my head right now spinning around. I do not believe that if I stick my hand, my arm, up into the ceiling fan, it's going to hurt. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. It's a fucking fact. If I stick my arm up in the ceiling fan, it's going to fucking hurt. My belief does not enter into it. Okay? Beliefs. It's a tough decision which of these is the gayest. They're all pretty gay. Anyway, you'll know where this one's going. Beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. Right, so this one was written for the global warming wackos and the people who think that gender is a social construct. Right? See, but science, there's no scientific evidence that men and women are different. That's just a social construct. Well, there's a scientific consensus on global warming. I mean, this is literally here, literally Hitler here. For the people who don't actually understand what science is and isn't. Number six. People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify it and resolve any harm that might have been caused. It's a statement of the obvious followed by a statement of the obvious. The fact that the sort of people who are attracted to the cuck church of Satan need to be told that tells us what kind of caliber those people are. All right, although I suppose you could make the same statement about the Orthodox Church of Satanism where it says, do not harm little children. I mean, if you have to tell people that. But then again, that's a rule. See, this is a fundamental tenet, whatever the fuck that means. And number seven, we're almost done here. See, this will be longer. This makes up for the short episode you had on Monday. Number seven. Oh, God. This one's also painful. Okay. Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion. Remember, these are people, we'll find out this later. This is written by people who make fun of LaVey and rib on him and give him shit, kind of rightfully so, for believing in magic. Okay? Just keep that in mind. These people are giving LaVey shit for believing in magic. Listen to this. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. So once again, just like the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which I know that many of you conservatives are not even familiar with, that says the powers, not specifically given to the federal government are reserved for the states, right? That's like your clause to cover everything that somebody didn't think of in the Constitution. Well, this is the clause for the seven fundamental tenets that allow you to override any of them when you feel like it. See, every tenet is a guiding principle They're not rules. They're principles. And they're designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. So the spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. So you see, these tenets, these are written words, but they're just guiding principles. They're not rules. And you can override any of them anytime you need to, as long as you're being guided by the spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice. So you see, it says here, the freedom of others should be respected, but you can override that with compassion, wisdom, and justice, right? So say, for example, those others are, well, let's say they're white people, right? I mean, so do you have to respect their freedom? Well, no, because white people are all inherently racist. We can use the spirit of justice to override the tenet that says we're supposed to respect other people's freedoms. Okay, we got this tenet here that says you're supposed to conform to scientific understanding of the word. You shouldn't distort scientific facts to fit one's belief. But you see, you can take the temperature data, you can manipulate the temperature data because you're doing so because for justice. You could take the statistics on the differences in the average IQs of the different races, and you could ignore that because you're doing it out of compassion. You could, in fact, even claim that there is no such thing as race while at the same time saying that all white people are racist. And on top of that, you could say that there's no such thing as gender. Gender is a social construct, but that all men are rapist. And you could do these things. You could say these things. You could believe these things, which are contradictory to each other, but you could hold those in your mind. You could hold them up as truths because, you see, you're doing that in the spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice. And remember, guys, if there's no justice, there's no peace. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but I can tell you this. The number of times that I can recall offhand ever seeing Anton LaVey write the word justice is zero. In the stuff we read just today, the word justice never appears. There's no such thing as justice in Orthodox Satanism. That is not a fucking concern. All right, we're going to wrap this up because I got to get going. Here's the last little bit. This is like from their About Me page or whatever. Once again, this is going to tell you, Cuck Church. I'll read this. You think about every fucking Cuck Church website you've gone to and read their About Me page. Here we go. The Satanic Temple. The mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy among all people. Yes, unless, of course, they're white Christians, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, Holocaust deniers, white nationalists. You know, but again, we know that these are all code words. All people is a code word. The mission of the, all right, let me do this without editorializing, fat chance. The mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy among all people, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. The Satanic Temple, trying so hard not to editorialize. Deep breath. The Satanic Temple has publicly confronted hate groups, fought for the abolition of corporal punishment in public schools, applied for equal representation when religious installations are placed on public property, provided religious exemption and legal protection against laws that unscientifically restrict women's reproductive autonomy. I'm in so much pain right now. Exposed harm. This is all one sentence. Exposed harmful pseudoscientific practitioners in mental health care. Organized clubs alongside other religious after-school clubs in schools besieged by proselytizing organizations, and engaged in other advocacy in accordance with our tenets. So they're an advocacy group. Okay, guys, for exposed harmful pseudoscientific practitioners in mental health care. So you're talking about the people who think there's no such thing as boys and girls? Okay, guys, come on. Oh my God. Provided religious exemption and legal protection against laws that unscientifically restrict women's reproductive autonomy. What the fuck is that? That unscientifically restrict women's reproductive autonomy. Because there are laws that force women to have sex when they don't want to. This notion that women somehow can't control who they have sex with. It just, you're strong and they're independent and they're girl bosses and they can do anything men can do and they can go girl on their fish bicycle with their Rosie the Riveter poster. But they just can't control their reproductive autonomy. They have no control over who they have sex with. They unscientifically restrict women's reproductive autonomy? I don't know what this means. So what are you saying that there are... What are unscientific ways of restricting... What is... Okay, God, let's... Oh, my God. I'm in pain. Okay. Autonomy. That means self-control. Women don't have self-control because they don't have agency. So we've already blown it. Okay. Reproductive autonomy. So that would mean a woman's ability to control whether or not... So woman's reproductive autonomy. So the ability of a woman to control if she reproduces. So restrict women's reproductive autonomy. So someone is, so taking a woman's control of whether or not she gets pregnant, yes or no, away from her. So unscientifically. So they're opposed to unscientifically taking away a woman's autonomy to control if she gets pregnant or not. So does that mean that if we take their reproductive autonomy away scientifically, it's okay? And how do you do it unscientifically? I mean, there's only one way for a woman to not get pregnant. It's for the sperm and the egg not to fuse together. That's pretty scientific. And there's only one way for a woman to get pregnant. You have an egg cell, you have a sperm cell, they have to meet and they have to fuse together. That's scientific. What are you talking about? What does this mean? It's just this laundry list here of one long run-on sentence with commas in it about all the advocacy that you've done. You are a fucking left-wing progressive political advocacy group. This is what the Satanic Temple is. They're a bunch of fucking leftist progressives. It's painful. And hilarious. And painfully hilarious and hilariously painful. It's kind of like the notion that black people are supposed to vote for your party just because over 100 years ago, you and Abraham Lincoln went down to the Confederacy and fought a civil war to free the slaves.